Welcome back to the show. Gives me great pleasure to introduce a man making his international debut here at Tip TV. His name is Mr. Jeff Weitzman. Jeff, greetings.
Hello.
We're joined by Craig. Okay, this is called the Moose Stitch-Up section. Jeff is a leading expert in the art of training for marathons and such horrible words. Jeff, thanks for coming on board. I'm going to kick this off, okay? I've run two London marathons.
Yeah.
I've run the first 20 miles like a Rolls Royce at my own pace. For the last 6 miles or so, the piano arrives on your back. Now, off air, you said to me, what was your training program like? My training program was horrific because working in the city, okay, it's all about everything to excess, and I use that the terms loosely. Now, Craig has booked me in for a 5K run in 2 weeks' time. I haven't run for about 6 weeks. I'm obviously looking for some tips, OK, to make sure that I go off with the Kenyans and finish with the Kenyans. but to give you sort of a little bit of background of my sort of normal training style, I remember one year I was due to run the London Marathon, and you know who you are out there. Long story short, he took me out on the Thursday evening because he thought it'd be a good idea that I drank a few cocktails and things ahead of the marathon on the Sunday. And I fell over on the dance floor on a, believe it or not, a plastic bottle and twisted my ankle, and it came up to here, and I had to pull out that year, and I called it a training injury, where it was actually a dancing injury. So that's a little bit of background about me, a man who basically lives in the slow lane, a man who's used to being overtaken in marathons and the likes with people carrying canoes, a man whose brother was always very, very fast, super fit, up the front with the Kenyans in terms of the family photographs, and me, dare I say it, I was with the one-legged people right at the back. Have I got any chance of setting a personal best on Saturday week?
It's not long, is it? That's the long and the short of it. You've got a couple of weeks, but you are in a relay team, so you're not just running for yourself. You can't let your team down. I think first and foremost, draw on the fact that you know you can do 42 kilometres, not in any great style, and you're only doing a small fraction of that. So psychologically, you're not going to hit any kind of wall. You're not going to be out there for
no
5
pianos.
Hours. There may be pianos, but that's really down to you. You've got a little bit of time to get in some training. I do suspect with people that work in the city that weekends is where it gets crammed in, if
correct.
At all. Do what you can at weekends. Don't just concentrate on going out for long, slow plods. Try and do it at the same time of day as you're going to be racing. Try and do it over similar terrain. So if it's, don't go off-road if you're running an event on the roads. And just mix things up a little bit. Inject a little bit of pace into it. That should be almost like a welcome change from the trudge of perhaps 20 and 13 miles that you should have done for your marathon.
In terms of alcohol, can I have my pint of beer the day before, or 2 pints?
You've got to decide how much this means to you, how much it matters.
I don't want to let the team down. I'm going to come to the team in a minute.
Okay. I think some of the greatest marathon runners and athletes of all time, we talked about Dave Bedford before the programme, the former London Marathon director and a renowned bon viveur. Steve Jones, former world record holder, still the British record holder for the marathon. They were beer artists of some sort of note, but they always left it until after the race. They made up for it in the time after the race. But if it matters enough to you to do well and do yourself justice, look forward to the beers and just use that as part of your self-control.
In terms of training, so obviously you are an international marathon runner. What was your fastest marathon time?
My best time was 2:13, and I ran in
2:13.
2:13, and I ran in the European Championships and the Commonwealth Games back in 1990.
But in terms of your training, you see, it's quite kind of popular at the moment. A lot of kind of high intensity interval training. The idea that you can get big gains in a short time. What kind of running volumes were you doing when you were kind of competing internationally, and what should people be looking at? Should they be banging the miles in kind of Dave Bedford style, or should they be getting these shorter, higher intensity bursts?
I think it's surprising how modest the mileage is you can get away with during the week, whether it's a city lifestyle or a wary marathon runner trying to avoid injury. Where you have to make it up is weekends.
You've got to do that one long run a week, haven't you?
Exactly. So when I was in my prime, I only ever ran 70, 80 miles a week, which is laughable, really. It's only like half what Mo Farah does. But I did go for the odd 30-mile run on a Sunday, and I don't know many that manage that. And psychologically, if you've gone over the distance, including your relay.
I've never, ever gone over the distance.
But go over 5K in the next fortnight, just so you know, you can manage the distance. It's just the speed that's...
So you've done a marathon in 2 hours and 13 minutes. Craig is one of our own. He's in-house economist, OK? Let's have a little bit of background about your sporting prowess, because you've got a fantastic curriculum vitae, haven't you?
I was talking about before the show, I'm a complete one-trick pony. All I've ever done is ride a bike. I grew up racing on the track. I moved to France at 17, went racing for a few French teams, Belgian teams. I've raced all over Europe. I've been very lucky. I've raced all over the world.
You were close to the Tour de France, taking part in that.
I wasn't that close to it. I wasn't as close as I'd like to have been. But I've come back to racing. I've come back to training. And I'm getting 200, 300 miles at the moment.
What, per day, per week, per month?
So I'm getting 300 miles a week, but I tend to...
I need to work him harder.
But it's kind of like, you see, the thing is, it's you don't necessarily... The thing about the long distances is similar to on the bike. The long distances aren't necessarily required, even if you're doing shorter races, but it's getting that time, it's getting that suffering in.
Yeah.
It's learning how to dig yourself into a massive hole and stay there and keep on hurting yourself. Because I feel on the bike, it's probably very similar to running, that lots of people don't know the difference between running and training or riding and training, that you really have, a lot of it's really psychological. It's really about digging yourself into a very deep hole. And I know on the bike, like I had a few years out, I got to the point where I hated the sight of my bike. And it took me a few years until I could stomach training again. But I found that I got back very quickly compared to people who've, maybe not trained as hard before, just because I was acutely aware of what it's like to train, and that it's just about really hurting your head as much as hurting your legs, and just digging yourself really deep and staying there for hours. And lots of people just don't grasp that's so important.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move that on a step, okay? My peer group, my sort of age, circa 50 years old, work long hours.
Yeah.
We eat salads all day.
Yeah.
Only drink Perrier water.
Is that okay? Right?
What tips can we give this crowd, okay, who are watching Tip TV today, okay, how can they get off their butts and enjoy getting some exercise in? How can you, there's one guy I'm thinking of straight away, how can we encourage him to give up the smoking and the likes? Have you got any sort of general tips?
Well, I think, first of all, it depends how much it matters to you. You know, the general feeling of being fit, being healthy, being able to take on challenges, raising money for charity, setting personal best times. How important is that to you? How important is it to you to be part of that relay team, to do another London Marathon, your third, and do it better than...
Well, I've done two, and they said everyone's got three in them. Yeah. I need to find the motivation to do that third.
I like the idea of doing it with somebody. So you've not to let anybody down in your relay.
Yep.
For our man that's a bit of a smoker and has difficulty fitting into his lifestyle, there's lots of different ways you can exercise. Lots of people cycle home from work, run to work, run during their lunch hour, get on the treadmill. You don't need to exercise for an awful lot of time to get some benefit. It can be 15, 20, 30 minutes, and everybody's got that.
But this guy, Jeff, okay, was on his bicycle last year all the time. He was doing this during his lunch hours, and he lost interest, he lost enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But how, and that's a very familiar tale for me and perhaps quite a few of my peer group, okay, how do we sort of reinvigorate ourselves?
Well, I mean, Craig mentioned it, that as a professional cyclist, at a certain point, you get sick of the sight of your bike. And as a runner, if you're running every day, even if it's only 80 miles a week, you do get some runs where you're sick of it. And the key to it is to mix things up, to do it at different times of day, to run in inspiring venues, a body of water to me, a river, a lake, a pond, a coastal path, getting on a train, going somewhere two stops away and then running back, running with somebody, even if that somebody is a spouse, a friend, a relative on a bike, those sort of things that just change up your routine and get you out of a rut, especially at weekends where you've got options to go different places, take on different routes, give it a little bit more time. I think it's the variety that makes the difference.
So you're the MD of Run UK. Are you seeing a big uptake? Are more people getting into running? And are there more people of Moose's caliber getting into running as well?
There are. The latest active people survey from Sport England shows that more than 2 million people in England run at least once a week for 30 minutes. And that's probably the fastest growing sport out there at the moment, if you classify it as a sport.
Over and above cycling?
Just, yeah.
I suppose there's lower barriers to entry as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's things like Park Run and Race for Life that have made a difference to that. So when I was running in the 70s and 80s, it was a very odd thing to do. Nowadays, and we used to get jeered in the street. You don't get that now.
Really?
There's so many people out and about, it would be ridiculous for them all to get a jeer.
Well, my running career started in the year 2000 when I gave up smoking.
Okay.
So I missed that. But did people really jeer you in the
streets? They did in those
Were they booing you or encouraging you?
It was get those knees up. It was, who do you think you are? It's ridiculous to think of it now. I think race walkers still get a little bit of that. I think that's still...
But it used to be the same with cycling, even in the time that I've been, you know, I'm 27, but I've been training since I was, you know, 11 or 12 out on the roads. And you used to get jeering a lot more, and now it's stopped completely. It's just gone.
Just the norm. Well, I've got to say, the cyclists in the country lanes are driving me mad. I think it's the worst thing that's ever happened for Team Sussex, OK? We've got more cyclists down there than you can.
Well, I live there as well, and I moved away to Edinburgh for 10 years, and the biggest difference I've noticed when we came back is the number of cyclists out on the road. It's the Olympics, it's Ride London. All of those that have used the Surrey Hills have suddenly made it a sort of cult place to cycle. Yeah. It's good, but it's difficult to overtake, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't want to be a bus driver, a taxi driver, or anybody in the City of London.
No.
Because everybody has almost got cycle rage. Yeah. Everyone's trying to do the personal best, set a world record.
Cycling is quite a dear activity. We've just come out of recession, and running is counter-recessionary. So where people were cancelling gym memberships, cancelling golf club memberships, not buying the expensive bikes, you could still get a pair of trainers and just go out for a run.
Although I personally have a big problem with people buying expensive bikes.
Yeah.
It's what I love about cycling is the fact that ultimately, if you've got a good pair of legs, if you've got some natural talent, and you've got a crap bike, you will thrash somebody on a £6,000 bike.
Yeah.
You know, that will always happen. You know, you will always beat them. And I think it's very dangerous, and it annoys me a bit that there is this growing mentality that you need to have this expensive bike, and you just don't. You can get out on it, as long as it's got two wheels, as long as it's all in good working order, get the miles in, bang the miles out, and just get your head down and do it. And that's what's important.
One of my very dear friends in the city has got the most expensive bicycle we've ever seen. Okay, but he's reassuringly slow. Okay, Jeff Whiteman, thank you. We've gone off the beaten track. You can have the final word.
I'm going to give you your next challenge. Once you've risen to team glory in your relay, let's keep a relay theme going, because Run Britain is hosting as the last event on the London 2012 Olympic track from the Olympic Stadium on the evening of the 27th of July, the Diamond Relays, 5x5K corporate relays, and you can enter for that event at runbritain.com. I want to see you there as the last finisher on the track that was raced by Farah.
I've done the Olympic track just after the Olympics, OK? But maybe we'll have a Tip TV team, all right? If you're watching this and you fancy joining the Moose, I'm looking for four runners, similar skill set, you know what I'm saying, all right? We're looking for people who are gentlemen. Get in touch with me. Jeff, Craig, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's take a very quick break and then we'll be straight back. Thank you.